Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, as we gather here this morning, we ask that your words may touch our heart so that we can reach out into the world and show your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you have ever seen this, but there is actually a website called the People of Walmart. Have you ever seen this website? Yeah, I see a lot. Apparently, the strangest people in the world go to Walmart. Everybody goes to Walmart, but, you know, there are cameras in there. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, speak badly about these people, but obviously, a lot of these folks are going in there hoping to stand out in the crowd. You know, I mean, you don't walk into a normal place dressed as a unicorn unless you want people to notice the guy dressed as a unicorn, right? I mean, but there are some people that love to stand out in a crowd. You know, they've got face covered with tattoos or like they've changed their look and modified their body so that when people see them, they'll see them. But then there are those people that they would much rather blend into the background, you know? They do not want to be noticed in a crowd. They don't even like being in a crowd, so they are just fine and content if nobody talks to them at all. Now, I'm somewhere in the middle of that. Now, I think most people probably are. Yes, I like attention, but I like attention kind of for the right reasons, you know, like my personality, my sense of humor, how good looking I am, how humble I am, you know, those kinds of things. But to really stand out and feel different is not what most folks are going for. Certainly not what I'm going for. But that's not to say that I have never experienced it. I mean, there's a couple of examples. I mean, one, have you ever sat on the home side of an away, on the home side if you were an away fan? As most of you know, I graduated from Lenoir University in Hickory, North Carolina, and our arch rivals are Newberry College here in Newberry. Well, my previous congregation was in Newberry. My wife graduated from Newberry College, and so when I go to the Lenoir Newberry games, guess where I sit? Amongst the enemy. And so here I am, all decked out in LR gear, and there are wolves surrounding me, quite literally. And I feel out of place. Now, I know these people, many of them. I like these people. Usually they like me. But for this one day, I feel like an outsider. And honestly, if the game's closed, I'll get up and go to the other side. Because I don't like that feeling of being different. It's not the only time I've had this experience. When I was a rising senior in high school, I had the fortune and the honor to be chosen by the North Carolina Synod to go to the church-wide assembly youth convocation. You may know every 3 years, the ELCA meets church-wide assembly. It's like Synod Assembly, only it's church-wide. And back then, they would send youth to go, and we'd do sort of a separate thing, but we would observe all that was going on at church-wide, which was really fun. And every synod sent 2 to 3 youth to go and attend this. And I was the male person chosen from North Carolina. And so I was there. And again, I'm not the one that's going to come into a room and say, "Here I am, check me out." Well, unless it's this room, different story. But I'm also not going to shy away. And so typically how I would get attention would be, you know, like say humorous things during conversations or like during presentations. Yeah, kind of a wise guy, you know? Well, I made one of these comments, and everybody laughed, and it was great. And then I realized that they weren't just laughing at what I said, because they were repeating it. But they were also repeating it how I said it. Now, folks, I don't know if you were aware, but most of the Lutherans in this country, they ain't from around here. And so I'm in a room with people, with Lutheran kids from mostly the Midwest and up north. And they heard me talk, and boy, you'd have thought that it was country come home, because they had never heard an accent like mine. And, you know, I don't even think I have much of an accent, do you? I mean, I can put one on. I mean, I can sound Southern like I'm from Charleston. Or I can sound like I'm from the hills of West Virginia, too. I can sound like I'm from Catawba County, where there's ice and gnats. That's where I'm from. But I don't think that I sound horribly country or horribly Southern until I'm around a bunch of people who ain't. And man, I never felt so different. And they told me so. They would come up to me and go, just say something. I just want to hear you talk. Really? Now, I mean, I took it in good stride and good humor. But, you know, the truth is I felt a little bit like an outsider. And I'll be honest with you. Churchy people have a talent for making other folks feel like outsiders. Maybe you've experienced that if you've ever visited a new church. And some churches are really friendly and welcoming, and some, not so much. Then there are the fact that we tend to be quite judgy of other people. The message that Christians say, and you can't do that, and you shouldn't wear that, and you shouldn't act like that, because that's not the way you're supposed to act. People of faith have been doing this, well, since the beginning of faith. In today's gospel reading, we hear that there were Pharisees and scribes that came from Jerusalem. In other words, they traveled to find Jesus to tell him that his disciples weren't doing it right. Just to say, we notice that your disciples are not washing their hands before they eat. Now, first of all, the Pharisees do have a point. That's kind of gross. But what they said is, you aren't following the traditions of the elders. You know, they didn't know anything about hygiene or anything like that. For them, it was tradition. It wasn't even scriptural. It was their tradition. It's the way that they practiced their faith. And you aren't practicing your faith like we practice ours. I mean, look, there are so many divisions within the Christian community today, aren't there? We do it this way, and you do it this way, and you do it this way. Now, thankfully, I do like being a part of the ELCA where we're all kind of like, you know what? You do it your way. That's fine. But there are some Christians out there that if you don't do it the way we do it, you're wrong. And that's exactly what the Pharisees were saying about Jesus' disciples. You aren't following the traditions of the elders. You aren't doing it the way we do it. You aren't doing it right. And that wall is being built up further and further and further every time churchy people say things like that to others. When we say, you're wrong, it's this way, it's my way, it's the way I understand it. You should act like me, you should look like me, you should talk like me, because if you don't, you're wrong. You're bad. You're evil. Why is it that people of faith spend so much time and energy separating themselves from other people? The passage goes on a little bit. And then the next section, Jesus is traveling to Tyre and Sidon, and there's a Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman, a woman that Jews did not associate with. Because they did not associate with many women, and they certainly didn't associate with Gentiles. And she's calling out to Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter has a demon. And you know what Jesus did? He ignored her. Act like she wasn't even there. Until eventually the disciples, they were done with this. You know, I mean, it was like this just in their ear. Jesus sent her away. Can't you tell her to go on? And so he says, look, I'm only here for the law, the children of the law, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then finally, she just goes in front of Jesus and drops at his feet so he can't miss her. And said, and Jesus said, am I supposed to share the children's food and throw it to the dogs? Well, that's not very nice, Jesus. You know? I know your mama Mary taught you better than that. But see, for them, in that culture, Gentiles were dogs. That's how they were referred to, Gentile dogs. And so what we don't know, because we're reading the written word, we don't know if Jesus was saying this tongue-in-cheek. We don't know if he was being sarcastic. We don't know if he was putting on a show for the disciples to see this. But honestly, that's not very important. Because the first people reading this, the Jews who were converting to Christianity that were reading this, they would have been like, yeah, Jesus, that's... I mean, they would not have batted an eye at that comment. Not like we do. But what would have caught their attention was how it ended. Because, first of all, this Gentile woman has a nice, clever comeback. She says, yeah, but, you know, even the dogs get the crumb off the kid's table. And Jesus says to this Gentile woman, this woman that shouldn't belong, that didn't act like them, that didn't talk like them, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. Great is your faith. I mean, just before that, he just chastises Peter for not understanding the whole parable about the things going into the mouth and out into the sewer. He's telling Peter, and last week when Peter was sinking, he goes, "You of little faith." But here, this Gentile woman, he's saying, "Great is your faith." You see, our God doesn't build up walls. Our God tears them down. Our God does not separate us from each other. God unites us together. But see, here's the thing. A lot of times the ways we practice our faith gets in the way of putting our faith into practice. It's all well and good to come to church. It's great to read your Bible, to pray, and to practice your faith. But what's more important is that you put your faith into practice. That's what Jesus is saying here. Because for Jews, one of the most important practices of their faith was what they put into their mouths, was their diet. You know, they had these dietary restrictions that they didn't eat pork, and bacon is delicious. You know, they didn't eat this and they didn't eat that. And so if they were going to practice their faith, they had to make sure that they were eating the right things. But it wasn't any good if what they were saying and what they were doing was contrary to what they believed. My friends, as Christians, we should not be the ones out there spewing hate and disgust and dissension. What comes into us, what goes out from us, should be love and grace and mercy. It's one thing to practice your faith, but we have to put our faith into practice. And putting our faith into practice means that we show that love, that the things that we say and the things that we do mirror the God who loves us. So we need to consider what it means to put our faith into practice. It matters what we say and how we speak to our family. Giving them love and support and mercy. It's important how we speak to those in our lives, our friends, our co-workers. It's important what we say to the people that we encounter in day-to-day lives, whether it be our waitress or the cashier or the person at Walmart that looks, meh. It's important how we react to people on social media. Because you see, my friends, you and I are people of Christ. Christ tears down walls. He doesn't separate us. He brings us together. And therefore, while it's important to practice our faith, it's more important to put our faith into practice. To share and show the love of God. My friends, they need to hear us. They need to know that God's word is a word of love. It's a word of grace. It's a love of mercy. It's the word of salvation. And that is what needs to come forth from us. Amen.